Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now there are certain seasons of the year in our society when the giving and receiving of gifts takes a prominent role. At Christmas season, at weddings, graduations, birthdays, Valentine's days, other times, gifts take front stage and receive attention. There are many occasions that prompt the spirit of giving and receiving. Now these are not wrong, and the giving and receiving of gifts often produces some of the happiest times of the year. It does seem sometimes that throughout the year there is such an emphasis and concentration on getting more and more material things that we lose sight of the more important things. Therefore, a study of covetousness is always timely. The Scriptures address this particular matter as sin, and does so frequently and definitely. In Luke 12, verses 13 through 15, "And he said unto them, Man who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Covetous, a friend, is defined as an attitude of insatiable desire for gain, being greedy of gain, grasping and seeking to get. To earnestly desire, even to immoderate and excessive desire, is especially related to the desire for money and the things money can buy. We must remember, however, that the use of the term covet is not always in the sense of a fault. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, Paul said, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." And in 1 Corinthians 14:39, he said, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy." These gifts were to be desired because they would provide ability to further the cause of Christ. In our study, however, we shall use the term in the way that it is most frequently used, and that is in the sense of sinful and excessive desire for material things. Covetousness is denounced and forbidden by the Lord in both the Old and New Testaments. Exodus 20 and verse 17 in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not covet." Romans 13 and verse 9, "Thou shalt not covet." Whatever this involves is forbidden. While covetousness is blessed by the wicked, it is abhorred by the Lord. Psalm 10 and verse 13, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." An inclination to covetousness is opposite of the ways of God. The psalmist wrote, "Make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart to thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." God's people, both past and present, are not covetous because God did not and does not allow them to be. Such a heart would becloud their judgments and their decisions. The rulers over Israel were not to be covetous. Exodus 18 and verse 21, "Moreover thou shalt provide out of all of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be the rulers of thousands, or the rulers of hundreds, and the rulers of fifties, and the rulers of ten." Likewise, those who rule over the church, the elders or bishops, are not to be covetous men. In the list of divinely noted qualifications for such men in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, we find the words, "not covetous," "not given to filthy lucre." Covetousness is to be shunned to the extent that we, as Christians, are not even to keep company with those who are covetous. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, "But now I have written to you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be, among other things, covetous." Ephesians 5 and verse 3, "But fornication and all covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints." Covetousness, friend, is a matter of the heart. It lives in the heart, and it produces evil by first corrupting the heart, that in turn corrupts life. Mark chapter 7, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, and adulteries, and fornications, murders, and thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It was because of covetousness that Ananias and Sapphira lied to both men and to deity. Because of the covetousness of Achan, he stole from that which was to go into the Lord's treasury. Because of covetousness, the unjust steward defrauded his master, and without discretion or authority, reduced the indebtedness of those who owed his master. Because of covetousness, Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Because of covetousness, Ahab perpetrated many evils against Naboth and took his vineyard away from him. Because of covetousness, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, brought disgrace and leprosy upon himself, lying about his actions and seeking gifts for himself from Naaman under false pretenses. Because of covetousness, Lot chose the splendid fields which lay toward Sodom, a city so wicked that God eventually destroyed with fire and brimstone. And Lot's wife, looking back toward the city she must have loved, was turned into a pillar of salt. Indeed, Proverbs 15, verse 27 tells us, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." And how many modern homes are disturbed because of greediness on the part of both husband and wife as well as children. People would be less covetous, possibly, if they could realize the folly and the vanity of covetousness and the emptiness of that which they covet. As Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Is it possible that many of us live as if everything depended upon what we have and what we get and what we say we own and what we possess and what we think belongs to us? Do we not realize how temporary these things are? And we are but temporary stewards of what we call ours. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Matthew 16:26. Gain does not satisfy even once obtained. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, or he that loveth abundance with increase, this also is vanity." Now these words came from a man whose material wealth was immeasurable because of its abundance. If wealth could satisfy, Solomon certainly should have been satisfied. Job, once wealthy and then in poverty and then again wealthy, he said in Job 31, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much," he goes on to say, "this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I have denied the God that is above." Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing the gain is godliness," he says, "from such withdraw thyself." And he warns, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Friend, we need to ask ourselves, what is most valuable to us? Riches that perish with the using, or salvation in heaven for eternity? Again, emphasizing the sinfulness and the folly of covetousness, Paul wrote, "Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth," Colossians 3 and verse 2. And in verse 5, he defines covetousness as idolatry. He exhorted that covetousness, along with other sins, be mortified or put to death. And he warned in verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Covetousness is a trait of the old man of sin, which Paul said was to be replaced with a new man of righteousness. Covetousness is not just a problem with the rich. That is a problem for the rich, it is evident. Matthew 19, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God." And again I say, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." This was a problem for the one the Bible student knows as the rich young ruler. But friend, if we take a close notice, we shall see that the covetous person was often not rich, certainly not at the first, but was covetous for riches. I read about Achan and Gehazi. I read about the unjust steward, and I read about Judas and others who were led astray by their covetousness, and they did not have what they wanted as yet, and they were not rich when they were covetous. Covetousness is a sin committed by both the haves and the have-nots. We should desire freedom, friend, from covetousness. Such freedom has been attained in the past by the people of God. Abraham, upon delivering the king of Sodom, took no spoils from him, even though they were offered. He coveted no man's possessions. Paul was free of covetousness. In Acts chapter 20, he said, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Our prayer should be like that of Proverbs 30 and verse 8. "Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with good convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Friend, we want neither poverty nor riches. We only want sufficiency, and sufficiency is as adequate as an abundance. Our Lord knows what we need. He's promised to provide what we need if we seek Him and His kingdom, His church, first. Matthew 6, verse 33. In 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.' So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" Now, friend, this does not make all ambition and progress and even riches necessarily evil of themselves. It does serve as a warning, an exhortation, indeed a divine teaching against covetousness becoming unbalanced in our desires, having an inordinate and immoderate and excessive desire for material things, being greedy and grasping as if all depended upon getting and holding. Many sin in many ways, trying to satisfy their craving for more and more. But the Lord's message is, in Luke 12 and verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.